You know, here's another first for wireless networks. We believe that 5G networks will be the first to be adopted by businesses as opposed to consumers. I think the business cases are going to be so compelling.
Technology is transforming how we think, how we lead, and how we win. From InnerVision, this is Status Go, the show helping IT leaders move beyond the status quo, master their craft, and propel their IT vision.
5G, 10 gigabits per second, 100 times faster than 4G. This advance promises to change the way we work and the way we live. Are you ready? Is your business ready? Today on Status Go, I'm going to speak to one of the leading voices in the advent of 5G. He spends his time at the intersection of technology and policy. Joining us today is Bill Swords, the president of AT&T of Indiana. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Bill, I really appreciate you joining us today. I've listened to you talk several times over the last, the last year or more on 5G, and actually had the opportunity to listen to a podcast you did a couple weeks ago. And you have this ability to kind of cut through the noise and cut through the hype, and really wanted to focus today on that because there seems to be a lot of confusion about 5G, the fifth generation of wireless technology. Can you tell us what 5G is and what it is not?
Yeah, happy to, Jeff. Yeah, maybe that's might be the easier way to explain it, is what it is not. You know, it's an exciting time to be in technology for sure. After years of talking about 5G, 2020 is really the year when it hits most major metros. And in fact, most of the United States will see a 5G signal in this calendar year. So, you know, I mean, rewind, think about the fact that original wireless networks, we didn't really call them 1G, but those original networks were all about analog voice calls. And then about 10 years later came 2G calls, when we first began to see a little bit of data. We could introduce texting. It was a whole new mode of communication. 3G was about a little bit of data. Maybe we could check weather scores or a little bit of news, just some text. That was about it. And then 4G networks really started to revolutionize the wireless experience with faster, almost near broadband speeds, where we could watch videos and begin to stream movies, and really set up a platform for a whole lot of new businesses. And 5G networks is, at its most simplest, the fifth generation of wireless networks. But 5G is so different because it's being built completely from the ground up. It's an incredibly software-defined network with lots of capabilities and power, whereas all the previous generations of wireless networks were really just kind of band-aided on top of old legacy networks. So it's an exciting time.
When I was listening to the podcast that I mentioned earlier, you or one of the other guests were talking about there's really actually two different types of transmission, I'll use a layman's term, for 5G. Can you kind of talk to the audience a little bit about that? Because that was the first time I'd heard the difference between the widespread, if you will, and the close concentration.
Yeah. So in the wireless business, obviously the life of our business, if you will, is radio spectrum. We can't provide cellular service without radio spectrum. And, you know, go back to your high school science classes when you learned a little bit about radio spectrum. And you know that there's different characteristics of different radio spectrum. I like to remind people that was the difference between AM and FM radio, right? You put talk radio on AM because the signals went for miles and miles. But you put music on FM radio because it had a lot more information in it. You needed the range of sound, and those signals don't go as far. So that's going to be true in 5G as well. We're going to be deploying 5G over lower band and over really ultra high, what we call millimeter wave spectrum. And so the characteristics will be different, you know, depending on what kind of device you have. And but hopefully all of that will become seamless to consumers, but there will be different properties of 5G that get carried over different radio spectrum.
You answered my next question, was, is the consumer going to be able to tell the difference? And it sounds like it's more at the device level that needs to understand those different frequencies.
Yeah, I think that's right. And, you know, for the first time in all of these generation of wireless networks, we're at a unique period where the network is actually out in front of the devices. That's been one of the challenges is today on the AT&T network, today here in mid-late January, there's one Samsung Galaxy S10 device that's out for our network. Mm-hmm. But we'll have more than a dozen out by the middle of the year and even more by Christmas time. But today, the devices are pretty hard to come by. And we've been a leader, fortunately, in central Indiana around getting those 5G networks out. But the devices are coming soon.
I happen to have an AT&T Samsung device. It's an S9. Mine says 5GE. What is that in comparison with true 5G?
Yeah, it's a great question, Jeff. About 2.5 years ago, we launched a 5GE network in Indianapolis and in Austin, Texas. Today, it's in over 550 markets all across the country. But it was really a precursor. It was the foundation, quite frankly, for real mobile 5G. Again, almost nationwide today, but it was a way to start preparing, you know, like with any standards, you can kind of see what the standards are going to be and what direction they're going. 5GE is a network that's actually twice as fast as our old 4G network.
Okay.
But it was about, you know, increasing throughput to the cell site, some new software upgrades, preparing it really for mobile 5G, which is here this year.
Okay. So when the true 5G is available, I'll need a new device. My Samsung S9 won't all of a sudden be true 5G
That's correct.
Capable. Okay.
Yeah. To access That's, any kind of 5G network across any carrier will require a new hardware update.
Okay.
For sure.
All right. I love it. By the way, big fan. Switched to AT&T about a year and a half ago now, I think. Just enjoy the experience. Thought I'd put
Thanks
a little plug
business.
In. Put a little plug in for you guys. So when you talk about 5G, you really talk about two different aspects of what 5G brings to the end device, and one is greater speed, but you also talk in terms of lower latency. First of all, can you kind of explain what you mean by each of those? And then I'll follow up with a question about how that's going to impact us.
Yeah, you know, I think for most people, when they think about, oh, there's a new G coming out, the main thing to underscore is that 5G is not just another G. Again, this is a built from scratch network, all sorts of new radio spectrum designed with security in mind from the ground up. 5G is completely different. And people say, okay, well, I assume it just means it's going to go faster. Mm-hmm. And the answer is yes, but it is. It's so much more than that, Jeff. Latency is a critical component and massive connectivity of IoT. Mm-hmm. So talk about latency for a minute. You know, at its simplest terms, latency is all about how responsive is the network? When you push a command on the phone, how long does it take to happen? On a 4G network, that's somewhere between 50 and 100 milliseconds. Mm-hmm. Now, that sounds pretty darn fast. And for most of us, it is. I think it's 70 milliseconds to blink your eye.
So
think about how fast that is. But with 5G, we start getting down to 20 milliseconds in that neighborhood, which is just lightning fast. We call it near real time. Mm-hmm. And now all sorts of new applications and solutions are possible on a wireless network that might not have been before. Things like augmented reality, virtual reality, autonomous vehicles, and all of the kind of whiz bang you've heard people talking about for years. We're just super excited to see what kinds of new industries, applications, and companies that will be born in an era of 5G networks.
And that is a great segue into how do you see this impacting businesses? I know here in the Midwest, we're heavily in manufacturing, we're heavily in agriculture, but we have a lot of other industries. How do you see this impacting our listeners out there and the businesses that they support through technology?
You know, here's another first for wireless networks. We believe that 5G networks will be the first to be adopted by businesses as opposed to consumers. I think the business cases are going to be so compelling. And you're right. You know, we both live in the Midwest. I tend to think about, you know, agriculture, manufacturing, and transportation. Those three sectors of our economy are the heartbeat of the Midwest, all of which are going to be incredibly disrupted by the Internet of Things and 5G. And so, you think about a manufacturing facility and an assembly line. And historically, the widget starts on one end of the line. And by the time you're at the end of the line, there may be 10 or 20% of them that are just bad. There was an error or something that didn't get corrected, and you have to discard it because something got screwed up during production. With 5G and real-time networks and cameras and sensors, you can actually be inspecting that widget as you are making it. Uh-huh. And the minute it deviates from whatever spec, it can be real-time fixed. Or you think about augmented reality glasses that are giving the operator user guides at the same time that they're performing their task. You know, it's really probably the business community that's going to see some of the earliest use cases for 5G networks.
Yeah, it really takes AR and VR out of the fixed experience and into the mobile experience is what it sounds like, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And that's when you start to get even into some of the more consumer aspects here too, when you talk about gaming. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not a huge gamer myself, but historically those folks have been kind of tied to their console, right, or down in the basement, and 5G networks are going to unleash these gamers from their basements and turn them loose on a more mobile platform with AR and VR and really high speed networks that allows them to have that gaming experience in a more mobile environment.
Yeah. Speaking of gaming, the whole esports and the explosion of esports that we're starting to see, I was talking with some folks at local universities that are starting to have esports programs. And I think all of this is going to be driven by 5G. It's probably driven by the promise of 5G today. That's where I've always seen the promise in this, right, is at that intersection of the IoT, Internet of Things, and 5G to propel businesses. I love the story of talking with the folks up at Bex Hybrid Seeds and what they're doing with technology and Internet of Things and starting to look at how they help the plant life during different phases of the growing season for the farmer. It's just it's endless.
It's fascinating. And, you know, just as, you know, I made the claim earlier that kind of 4G networks gave birth to all these new technology companies. I mean, think about how I'm a big fan of Zillow. I love real estate and just kind of dreaming or shopping, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, think about Zillow being able to do virtual reality tours of a home instead of just looking at static pictures and an MLS sheet. Yeah. Think about Wayfair instead of just shopping for a new sofa, being able to overlay that sofa in your living room to see how it fits or how the colors might interact. So all of these technologies and more are going to be capable on 5G networks and transform the businesses that exist and create new ones. And that's the exciting part.
So sometimes the technology of what we do is the easy part. And as I mentioned at the beginning, at the intro, you spend your time at the intersection of tech and policy. I love, that's the way you described it the other day when we were chatting, and I love almost the visual of that. So can you explain what life is like at that intersection for you?
Well, it's fascinating. I've kind of grown up around politics and technology. And when I, you know, speak to groups, they tend to be more technology oriented, and they say, well, you know, I'm with you on one, but the other one's not as exciting these days. But it's dramatically exciting because you think about how slowly governments move, whether it's the federal government or even local government. You know, government is not good at innovation and technology, but yet technology and innovation is disrupting every aspect of our lives at work and at home. And so governments are constantly finding themselves in a kind of a catch-up mode, whether it's adopting those technologies themselves as an organization or trying to set policies that allow technology and innovation to flourish in our community. So it's never a dull moment. You know, there's public policy conversations going on around how we use our devices when we're operating a motor vehicle.
Right.
There's conversations about privacy. There's conversations about how we're using technology to connect people in more rural places for distance learning and healthcare. And the opportunities are immense. But it's a challenge trying to make sense of that tech and innovation in a world through a government lens. And so sometimes those, the old world and the new world kind of cause a little friction.
I bet they do. Yeah. Sometimes I'd love to be a fly on the wall in those conversations that you're having, Bill. I think they'd be interesting and entertaining at the same time.
Yeah.
So I've read, and I think many of our listeners have read about some cities, municipalities pushing back on 5G. They talk about the aesthetics, the health risks. So what is AT&T doing to address those concerns? How do you talk with folks about that?
So, you know, make no mistake, we are in a global race to deploy 5G. And, you know, all you have to do is pick up the paper or watch the news about, you know, kind of what's going on in other parts of the world, and the priority and the attention that has been put upon 5G deployments. Are we behind China? Are, you know, or what's going on with the deployment of 5G? Whether it's national security or, you know, economic advantage, like there's a big race for 5G. All around the country, there's probably been about 30 states over the last few years that have passed laws to make it easier to build 5G. You know, if you think about kind of the history of wireless networks, the wireless companies used to be able to build a great big ugly tower, 300 feet tall, kind of out by the interstate, and that could serve for miles. And that kind of approach worked for a long time when all we used our phones was for phone calls.
Right.
But, you know, over the last couple decades, people have cut the cord. People aren't using their telephone at their home.
Exactly. We
know this more than most companies.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
And so we're using our wireless devices for everything, for phone calls, for video, for television, for internet, for every aspect of our life is on our cell phones. And because of that, that means the antennas have to get closer to the homes to basically pick up the load for what your telephone line or your cable line used to do for you. And so that creates some rub, right? How do they look? What color are they painted? How far away from the home should they be? But we all want fast blazing internet in our home. So,
right. So
yeah, you know, it's this balancing act, which kind of goes back to that whole, you know, the new world and the old world, tech and innovation versus, you know, consumer protection and health and safety. And so all the gear that wireless providers deploy is all approved and sanctioned through the FCC and a number of different federal regulatory agencies. And then when it comes to aesthetics and what these antennas look like, we do our best to work with community leaders all across the country to make sure we're balancing the interests of the local community and the demands of consumers and businesses who just need faster speed and more robust networks.
So do you have a success story that you had a municipality that was really pushing back and you or others were able to go in and educate and show them the upside of it and convince them to move forward?
Well, I wouldn't name one in particular, but over the last 3 years here in central Indiana, right, the Indianapolis metro region, you know, 3 years ago, there probably weren't but a couple of dozen what I'll call small cells or small antennas around the metro area. And today, there's way more than 1,000.
Oh, wow.
The Indianapolis region's been recognized by the FCC as one of the areas where cooperation between local government and the industry has gotten it right. And because of that, the Indy metro area has really become a leader in 5G deployment. And so, you know, it's an education process. Mm-hmm. It's about bringing in antennas, letting people see them, see what they look like, understand what they do and what they don't do, and how important they are to all the various aspects of our economy. So I think it's just an education process, but we're fortunate, and a lot of communities are across the country, where through just sitting down and a little bit of collaboration goes a long way. But, you know, in the absence of facts and conversation, people tend to kind of make up their own. And but, you know, we're all in it together. And fortunately, the United States is fending really well as it relates to the 5G race.
Well, that's good to hear for sure, because I know it is a global race, as you mentioned earlier. I know earlier in our conversation, we talked about the Internet of Things. And what I'd like to explore for a little bit here is the concept of smart cities and what 5G and IoT is doing for that. So where have you seen some real technological advances from a city perspective?
So first of all, one of the big advantages with 5G over 4G is IoT capabilities, massive IoT capabilities. I'm not a network engineer, but one of the stats I love that an engineer told me was that a 4G cell site can simultaneously connect about 10,000 IoT devices at once.
Okay.
A 5G cell site can connect a million at the same time.
Okay.
And so big leap in terms of capabilities of connecting devices, and not just devices, right, but cameras and sensors and anything that could be connected. So the capabilities are changing really rapidly. You know, I'll tell you that smart cities and IoT today, I think we're seeing some really early use cases. You know, we can all dream about what futuristic opportunities there might be with weather and traffic and public safety and you name it. And I think all of that is coming. But today, to me, traffic monitoring seems to be a really hot topic. Mm-hmm. Smart lighting is a way, you know, and we talk about connecting everything, but lights, you know, you can increase the light intensity based on weather patterns or crime trends in an area, things of that nature. We're seeing a little bit around public lighting, but until the networks get built and the devices get connected. You know, one of the other challenges I think we have, Jeff, is that our municipalities around the country are really starved for cash, quite frankly. Until you can show them that there's a return on the investment, either an increase in public safety or an increase in better traffic flow or whatever the use case may be, I think that's why smart lighting has kind of caught on, is because people have been able to see that by deploying LED lights and pushing some intelligence into that network, that there's real and dramatic cost savings.
Yeah.
And until we can kind of get those projections right, I still think we're another year or two off before we see significant, what we'll call smart cities applications, start to be adopted.
Yeah, as you said earlier, we'll probably see it in the commercial sector first, as you know, there's probably more money in some of those areas to invest. So one of the things that I know you love to talk about here in Indianapolis, so I'll be a little bit more of a homeboy here and give Indianapolis a plug, is the 5G zone. Can you tell our audience a little bit about that and what that is doing for innovation in the 5G world?
So it's an effort really led by Purdue University. The Purdue Research Foundation has stood up this, it's a space, first of all, the Indy 5G zone. I think their website is wherespeedmatters.com, but it's a 5G test lab. AT&T has partnered with Purdue to bring in 5G radio baseband and a test laboratory in downtown Indianapolis. And Purdue's partnered with a number of different research and higher education universities, companies, and collaborators. And it's a laboratory where companies and entrepreneurs and startups can bring their products, their ideas, their services, and test them on a real 5G network. Obviously, we wouldn't be crazy about people fiddling around with the wireless network out in the public, but right. They're in a very contained, safe space where they can change the attenuation and play with all the various parameters of the wireless network. And they're just opening their doors in about 3 weeks. So we're really excited about it.
Are there any of others of those around the country, or is Indianapolis the only one that you're aware of?
The University of Miami has opened or is about to open a 5G test lab, but Purdue and this Indy 5G zone will be the second one in the country.
Okay. Now, you mentioned earlier about Austin, Texas, and that they're a leader along with Indy in the 5G space. What are they doing? Are they contemplating one of these 5G zones? Are you aware?
Not that I'm aware of, no. Indianapolis and Austin were the two first cities to launch a 5G evolution network 2.5 years ago. But since then, you know, we've launched that 5GE network in 550 markets across the country. It's just been really exciting to see all of that continue to expand and grow.
I know you've also been very heavily involved with the annual hackathon, or one of the annual hackathons here in the area. And it seems to me that looking back over the contests over the last couple of years, they've been very IoT focused. Do you envision those becoming more 5G and IoT focused combined?
Yeah, great question. So, AT&T has executed a hackathon in Indianapolis for each of the last 5 years, and they've been a lot of fun. We're actually in the planning stages right now for our next big hackathon. It's going to be October 9, 10, and 11.
Okay.
And it's going to be a 5G sports-themed hackathon.
Ah, so excellent.
We're still putting all the partners together and look forward to talking about that in a more significant fashion in the weeks ahead. But yeah, it's about how can we seize upon being an early deployment of 5G networks. Indianapolis has a really rich history in sports. The NCAA is headquartered here with a lot of great professional and collegiate teams. TechStars has opened up a sports tech accelerator here. The Indianapolis Motor Speedway, race teams are here.
Yep.
And so we're really excited to explore how 5G networks might be disruptive and empowering for the whole sports tech movement.
So I would love to have you back on another show, either as we get closer to that hackathon or even post-hackathon to talk about it, if you're open to that, because I think it's really an exciting way to get innovation going.
I'd be happy to. We've learned a lot from the first few years, and they're fascinating experiences. You know, if there's one thing I've learned, it's that to expect the unexpected. But, you know, for us, it's about connecting college kids with the industry and, you know, making new friends, networking, meeting new people, and learning new skills. We've got a lot of developers that come from Salesforce or Genesis or area tech companies who might work in, you know, some platform kind of all week long, but they wanted to learn some new IoT or some wireless networking skills. And they're just a great experience. We have a lot of fun with them.
So am I right in that last year's was focused on first responders?
Yes.
I remember that correctly? Can you tell us a little bit about the work that was done there and maybe some of what you saw coming out of that?
Yeah, it's really interesting. There's a new network that's being built all across the country called FirstNet. This is a contract that the federal government has awarded to AT&T to build the nation's dedicated network for first responders. That was one of the learnings of 9/11 was that we had first responders from all around the country that couldn't communicate with each other. They were on different networks. And basically, until today, our first responders have been using the same cellular networks and the same telephones that all of us use. And that was found to be very deficient on 9/11. And so we had this hackathon to explore technologies specifically for first responders. And there's nothing more rewarding when people can use their passion and their talents to help advance the ball for these everyday heroes.
Yeah,
you know, it's like people ask me, well, what happens at a hackathon? I say, well, you know, I've got a bunch of friends that might not volunteer their time to go out and build a habitat home, but they'll volunteer their time to build a new mobile app or
That's
design
right.
some new technology product to help give back to the community as well.
Yeah. So, Bill, this has been a great conversation, and I could go on and on just picking your brain on this because it's just, to me, it is an exciting time to be involved in technology, and I think one of the most exciting things that we're going to see is 5G and what it can do for not only businesses, but our everyday life. But we're closing in on our time. And what I wanted to do was ask you a question that I love to ask all of our guests. And that is, we've got listeners out there that are senior IT leaders, they're CIOs, they may be in the tech industry, they may be in tech-enabled industries. What's one or two things they should do tomorrow after listening to our conversation today?
That's a great question, Jeff. You know, for me, it's all about continuous learning. You know, I try to read as much as I can. I don't recreationally read, but I industry read, and mm-hmm. Doesn't make me a well-rounded person, but,
makes you, know, you a the, geek, Bill, it makes you a geek.
Well, it probably does. And in a day when there are so many resources just at the tip of our fingertips, you know, everybody's always had that, you know, I wish I knew more about. I guess, you know, marking the new year, I would just take note of that and do what you can to explore that. It may mm-hmm. take your life or your career or your interests in a whole new direction. And there's never been a better time when all of that information is right at the tip of your finger. So I'd encourage everyone to continue to learn more and push those boundaries.
That's fantastic advice, and that holds true whether it's 5G and Internet of Things or any technology topic. So, Bill, thank you again for your time today. I really appreciate it. It's been a great conversation, and I would love to have you back in the future.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Thanks for the opportunity, Jeff.
To our listeners out there, if you have a question or want to learn more, go to intervision.com. The show notes will provide links and contact information. This is Jeff Tun for Bill Swords. Thank you very much for listening.
You've been listening to the Status Go podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes or get more information at intervision.com. If you'd like to contribute to the conversation, find Intervision on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Twitter. Thank you for listening. Until next time.